Governments aren't the only ones to get who have power and who can write history. The people also have this power. You can build the history of the society in a better way than the governments. Power is the propriety of all of the people of the society and the governments. So the power can't be the propriety of just someone, just one people. For example, the English people showed their strength in August 2011 by struggling against the government and the police after the death of a local man in London. But a question appeared after the riots. Were the riots of 2011 an expression of real social discontent, or simply motivated by greed and opportunism? Between the 6th and the 10th of August 2011, a lot of riots happened in London, and then passed and other cities in England. These riots took place after the death of Mark Duggan, a local man, who was shot dead by police on the 4th of August 2011. It began by some peaceful walk in the streets of London, but then after a sitting, the riots and the violence began. It was first a lot of car burned and shops destroyed, but then the rioters looted a lot of things in the shops. So, from the 8th until the 10th of August, Birmingham, Bristol, Liverpool and Manchester were the target of riots. It was copycat violence. As a result of these riots, the Prime Minister, David Cameron, ended his holidays and organized a crisis reunion. And he said there will be no pity for the rioters and looters. After the 15th of August, about 3,100 people has been arrested, and there was the same number of crimes across London, linked to the disorder. There was almost 200 million pounds worth of property damage during the riots. So that was the informations extract from the Wikipedia page of the London riots. It was then. Then we worked in a television debate opposing two people who are for the rioters and two people opposite to the rioters. So the two men who are for the rioters said it was not, of course, just looting and destroying things, but react from the politics against the politics who didn't do nothing for poor people and youth. Johannes Carlet, a student who knows some of the rioters, said that the people can't expect the rioters to respect other people's property because they have nothing themselves and don't know the value of have something. And even if they are thugs, they are part of the society. The other man who is for the rioters is a rapper who said that young people are angry because of generations of living in hypocritical and corrupt states. He denounced the activities of the politics and the government and accused the police to be the biggest gang in the UK. Their first opponent is Lynn Costello from Murder Against Murder and Aggressions. He said thugs are a minority that have no respect for their own community, their families and the law. She thinks that just a few thugs who don't want to be like other young people. They're just criminals and they don't respect the police. The last one is Kelvin McKenzie, who accused the rioters to just want to fight with the police during the riots because they don't like the police. He'll said that everybody tried to defend the rioters, but nobody tried to defend the society, the majority, and the people who were just victims of the riots. He's a little extremist. Then I think we could link these riots to the poll tax riots, but just in a little way, because it was a huge wave of riots for the poll tax, and the London riots of 2011. But for the poll tax, everybody was concerned and everybody rioted. But in contrary, the poll tax, after the fight of these people, was abolished by the next Prime Minister, John Major. So for me, the riots were both the result of a social and economic problem, but also motivated by greed and opportunism. But it's true that the rioters weren't really clear about what they fought for, and it's difficult to protect them and to defend them. They should have expressed their anger in a cooler way than the ones they choose.
Okay, thank you. Could you just give me a few details about the actual documents that you've chosen? So your three documents are the debate, or the script, part of the script of the debate, the document from Wikipedia, and the third document about the poll tax. Could you tell me what sort of document it is?
The document about the poll tax is what we did in class, a sort of presentation of the poll tax in group, and it's what we learned by working on the poll tax and what we wanted to learn to the other people of the class.
Okay, right, thank you. Do you think an article from Wikipedia is a good choice of article? Can you justify a little bit why you chose Wikipedia and not in one of the articles from a newspaper, for example?
I've chosen the document from Wikipedia because everybody can say what he want to say in the document, but you have to justify the reason why you write something, and you can't write what you want and wrong things.
So what was the advantage of choosing this article rather than choosing maybe an article from The Guardian that explained in more detail or in more depth the causes or the social context of the riots?
Choose an article from a newspaper is choose something seen by one part of the population, one political family, or from another political family. So it's not as natural as Wikipedia must be.
Okay, so you wanted just to have the facts, the basic facts, without any opinion in that particular document.
Yes, because it's the most important to introduce the riots.
Did you know anything about the riots before you started working on it in class? Do you remember when it was in the news, for example, or was it all very new for you?
Of course, I saw the article in the newspaper or the TV news about the riots, and I've seen the violence, but I wasn't able to remember the causes when we began to work on the riots.
At one stage in your presentation, you said that the riots were a sign of strength. Could you explain a bit more what you meant by a sign of strength? Do you think it's really indicative of a group that have strength or power to go out and riot?
I think it's a sign of strength because people can't forget, can't ignore you, because you're omnipresent, and all you can say will be heard by at least someone or at least a group of people who will spread and the message you can try to give.
So you think it's what happened was an effective way of making their voice heard?
Yes, because like I said, you can't ignore a huge mass of people like the rioters during these riots.
You said that you thought that the answer to the question was that it was both, that it was on the one hand genuine social discontent, and on the other hand to a certain extent greed and opportunism. If you had to choose between the two, which would you say was the most important cause of the riots?
I think the most important part of the riots was motivated by greed and opportunism, because the message a few people tried to give was just given a few days after the end of the riots, or it was not clearly given, but we saw more the looting and the
the violence, they can't burn.
Now, the government was absolutely convinced that it was not, the riots were nothing to do with social discontent, nothing to do with racial problems, just about what they called thugs and yobs and people who had been badly brought up. Do you think it was in their interest, in the government's interest, for people to believe that?
If the government recognized the fact that there are very social and economic problem, people can want improvements and solutions to these problems.
Okay, I think you're right there. But don't you think as well that if a government says there is a large part of the population that are just uncontrollable thugs who just riot because they feel like rioting, in some ways is that not more of a danger, more of a threat to society than saying these people are rioting because of such and such a circumstance and we're going to try and do something about it?
I think I don't understand all the question.
Do you not think it's a little bit short-sighted, a little bit of a short-term solution to the problem to say these people are ignorant thugs, rather than saying these people are reacting like they're reacting because of a reason, we're going to try and solve the problem so that what happened in 2011 won't happen again?
So yeah, it's short-sighted, I think, but a lot of people hearing at this agree with the government and then try to think about that rioters could have problems and they just accept the government opinion.
Okay, you talked quite a lot about the debate. How did you personally react to the opinions expressed by the different people? Were you convinced by anybody, or were you shocked by any of the opinions that were expressed?
The rapper was more convincing by his way of speaking because he's expressing himself in a way that everybody can understand and talk about something that a lot of people know about the problems. But the Kelvin McKenzie is also really convincing. But because he have examples, accurate examples, like the factory burnt by rioters and the people who lost their jobs.
So you think he was convincing, but what he was expressing was very, very reactionary, a very reactionary point of view, saying we need to re-establish order with the police having the right to use plastic bullets and so on and so forth. He was very, very adamant that force needed to be used to bring back order and to re-establish the balance of power. Do you not think his views were a little bit shocking in some ways?
Yeah, he's a little bit extreme. He's very extreme, but it's just because he don't want to think about other solutions and just want to stop the riots as soon as possible. And
okay, you said that you thought the rapper was a very convincing speaker. At one point, he talks about the police being a big gang. Do you think that's a justifiable opinion, or is it also a form of provocation?
Yeah, it's of course a sort of provocation. It's true that it doesn't bring evidences about the police being a gang, but I think it's just speaking about the errors that the police could have made during before these events.
Okay, if we analyze what he said about the police being gangs in terms of power, do you think it's an interesting way of saying that the police and young people have a form of rivality, they're rivals, like opposing gangs could be?
Yes, maybe. I think it's... Yes, it's true, I think.
But isn't it a frightening way of thinking about society, and thinking the groups that have power are gangs?
Yeah, it's also an extreme point, of view, that in fact is not in the wrong way. Just think about the superiority of the police opposite to the weakness of the people when they are in the streets opposite one to the others.
Okay, you mentioned the third document you talked about was about the poll tax. Do you think that the events of 2011 were more violent than what happened in the poll tax riots, or do you think it's very, very similar?
I think the poll tax was bigger in terms of people struggling against the government, because it was the poll tax were concerned more people, and it was easier for the leaders to unite people to riot.
But were you surprised that there were such violent demonstrations, such anger against the police in a generation that is actually your parents' generation and not your own generation?
I think it's maybe justified by what Kelvin McKenzie said, and when he said that young people doesn't like police. I think it's true because young people doesn't really think about what the police is doing, but just saw them as opponents who just want to shut them up.
Okay, but that what Kelvin McKenzie was talking about is today. What about the opposition to the police in the previous generation? Were you surprised by that?
I think it was. Kelvin McKenzie said it is true at all times.
Okay, so there's a long standing or a long running tradition of opposition to the police.
Yes.
And do you think there is similar anger towards the police in other countries, or is it something that's specifically British?
Maybe it's more. It appears more in England, but in all the countries, it's the same thing.
Apart from the poll tax riots, were there any other social movements from relatively recent British history that you talked about?
We talked about the Brixton riots and the UK miners' riots. The can't really remember what was the reasons of the first riots, but for the second one it's the closure of a lot of mines in UK that led to a lot of suppression of jobs.
Okay, so it was actually strikes rather than riots, strikes that led to quite a lot of violence and a lot of rioting.
Have you ever seen any films about the role of the miners in British social history?
Can't remember films, but maybe one book, The Fall of the Giants, from an English author who talk about these riots, the miner strikes.
Okay, and it's a book you've read and found interesting?
Yes, of course.
Okay, thank you very much.